Hello, today is Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, we are going to discuss why a robust sourcing strategy is so important if you hope to have success when you run a competitive procurement. I'm joined by two of my colleagues, Larry York, one of our project directors, and Ben Fox, one of TC2's managing directors. Ben, let me start with you. Why is developing a sourcing strategy such an important first step for a successful procurement?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, we see some procurements where everyone seems to simply be going through the motions. The motives and objectives for that RFP process may not be clear. And actually, in some cases, the motive is simply we feel we should do an RFP because we haven't procured these services for a while, or there's some company policy or executive mandate to procure all contracts and do a competitive RFP, whether or not there's any particular reason to do so. And doing an RFP simply for the sake of doing an RFP just doesn't lead to the best results. We tend to be very procurement dominated rather than a partnership between IT and their needs and procurement. And it doesn't tend to lay the groundwork for a potential change of supplier. And as we talk about a lot at TechCaliber, a willingness to embrace and seek out change, including potentially a change of supplier, is the most important ingredient for a successful RFP project. And in these kind of processes, that's often not there. So the vendors, they quickly realize that the RFP is mostly about hammering down the pricing of the incumbent vendor. The incumbents, they just batten down the hatches, and the non-incumbent vendors lose interest. So the successful sourcing strategy is really about engaging the end customer and gaining stakeholder buy-in as to why you're doing it, and developing a platform for an RFP for the procurement that can drive change. You know, that might be a change in technology, might be a change in vendor, could be a bit of both. And it's really that platform for change. That's what's so crucial for a successful procurement. And that's what a robust sourcing strategy should give you.
All right, Larry, let me ask you, what are some of the essential ingredients when an enterprise develops a sourcing strategy?
Yes, and thank you, Joe. You know, from the first essential ingredient is to establish agreed upon objectives of the RFP. Things like reducing cost, improving network performance, whether that's assessing new technologies or resolving existing pain points. It's all about the priorities for your organization. And that can come down to identifying your likes and dislikes, right? So existing pain points can be a great place to start. And capturing those existing issues in areas where stakeholders want to see specific improvements. The sourcing strategy can also be tailored to specifically address such items like capturing, you know, and by capturing and coming up with a plan to address stakeholder pain points, like those stakeholders becoming bought into the RFP process itself. Conversely, it's important to capture the strengths of the existing services and vendors. In a lot of cases we experience, and it's easy to fall into the trap of only focusing on the problems and the pain points that need to be fixed, which will certainly result in fixing those issues. But also, you can inadvertently introduce new issues in areas that are taken for granted, right? And so those need to be adequately covered in the RFP as well. So ultimately, you want to keep what's working and fix what's not.
I would add to that as well that developing the scope of the RFP itself is also really important. So a good sourcing strategy should look very carefully at which services and what scope should go in the RFP, rather than simply a let's put everything in and see what happens approach. So a good example would be aligning the geographical scope of the services you're including in the RFP with those vendors that you plan to issue the RFP to, and indeed the competitive market for those services. So we counsel our clients that there's really little value including services where there's essentially no available competition, or indeed where many of the bidding vendors won't be able to provide a bid. So in actual fact, it's often better, we find, to run multiple RFPs, or perhaps have multiple RFP modules in a single RFP program, each of which focus on specific areas. For instance, having separate different RFPs for mobile services versus global data network services.
So Larry, do you have anything to add to that?
I do, Joe, and I think Ben's points are spot on and excellent for organizations to note. But I certainly agree that the development of the RFP scope and structure is a key factor in the ultimate success of any RFP process. It's all about striking that balance between maximizing the scope to maximize leverage, but yet keeping that RFP from becoming unmanageably large is crucial. for you, the customer, but also for prospective vendors, right? The larger, more complex the RFP, the longer the vendors will need to respond, the longer it'll take to evaluate, negotiate, make decisions, realize benefits from the process. As Ben mentioned before, breaking up the RFP program into multiple RFP modules can help make the process more manageable and less unwieldy and allow you to focus on those individual modules or market segments and types of vendors, such as carrier services, managed outsource services, different geographical regions, different technology towers. By keeping that into those segments, it allows you for more focus, which I think is key in any of these types of projects. I also think having a well-defined sourcing strategy allows and encourages the vendors to only respond to those modules that represent the areas of their greatest strength. I mean, you want the suppliers to do what they do well. You want to keep them focused on those areas. And so by doing that, that will provide a format for those suppliers to be successful. Conversely, inflexible RFPs with large scopes, you know, where you're trying to boil the ocean, those tend to favor the large generalist type of traditional service providers. That ultimately can shut the door for those new market entrants and the best of breed niche suppliers that you may be trying to attract in a process like this.
So you've both mentioned vendors a few times. So what about selecting vendors to engage in the RFP?
Yeah, absolutely. Another key element in successful RFP strategies are careful to pre-qualify potential vendors before including them on the list. You know, I always look at it and say, if you're not willing to award that business to a vendor, they really don't have a place to be there in the first place, right? So issuing your RFP to every known vendor in the market is a recipe for failure. You'll receive more bids than you have time to evaluate. And at the end, you're wasting the time of the vendors that aren't suitable for your requirements in the first place. So by pre-qualifying the vendors, you issue the RFP, you'll keep the RFP process manageable. You'll be able to give the RFP responses the review time and attention that you need to make robust decisions. So further, when vendors know that they have been purposefully included on a list of an RFP recipients, they'll take the RFP seriously and develop their best bids and resource to do so. It really shows in the RFP process when the intentions are real and legitimate and you've taken the time to set the strategy. The vendors can see that. So this is a critical step in the process.
You know, in my experience, I find that if a client has a good sourcing strategy and, you know, upfront they, you know, show that to the key stakeholders, it really helps in getting that stakeholder buy-in. I'm just wondering, Ben, is that your experience or do you want to add anything to that thought?
Oh, absolutely. That's certainly true. And we've seen that time and time again on projects that we're working on with our clients. So the strategy, the sourcing strategy, should document all the terms of reference for the RFP. So the objectives that the RFP is trying to hit, the scope and the structure of the RFP, which vendors you're going to send the RFP to, the RFP process, the steps you're going to go through, and the timeline, how long it's going to take to run, and also the RFP team, who's going to work on the RFP and be responsible for it. And so having it all documented and then going and seeking approval of those terms of reference from the relevant stakeholders and from your management, the most important thing it does is it helps to minimize the risk of decisions being questioned and revisited later on, all of which just derails and delays your RFP process. So a really good example of that is getting buy-in for who you are going to issue the RFP to, which vendors, and the scope of services that was to be included. Because we've seen so often with running RFP processes that you get started, you issue your RFP, you get responses back, you evaluate them, you present the results to management, and the first questions you get are, well, why didn't you send it to that vendor? Why weren't those services included in the RFP? And what happens then is you end up kind of defending decisions that you made early in the process but didn't get kind of buy-in for, and it derails the RFP process. So getting that documented up front, presenting that, getting everyone to kind of agree to that and raise those questions at the start of the process when you can fix it or address it without derailing the procurement makes a huge difference to how successful you are.
I think Ben makes excellent points there, and certainly from a sourcing strategy standpoint, all of the stakeholder buy-in and management is one of the key benefits of doing a strategy upfront in the first place. But gaining the buy-in for the RFP timeline, when we talk about the project timeline, is key in making sure that the RFP work plan provides the time necessary to conduct a robust and diligent sourcing process, and even at the start of the process, right? So the time needed to develop the RFP documents, for the vendors to develop their responses, for the evaluation, negotiation of proposals, all these can be considered, and they can seem lengthy and daunting, yet trying to rush the process, including squeezing time provided to the vendors. We see this time and time again where the customers think that by squeezing the time out of the suppliers and making them respond more quickly, but the key area that we see trying to squeeze the timeline, but this is really a false economy. And, you know, it ends up resulting in missed opportunities and issues arising later on. Another point, Joe, when we're talking about setting objectives and gaining stakeholder consensus, these projects, in some cases, can be quite lengthy, right? And so during that process, the suppliers are great at distracting you and taking you off point from your original objectives, building leverage against you as a result of the timeline being missed. And having these good, agreed-upon objectives always gives the RFP team something to come back to, right, in order to keep focused and stay on schedule so you don't get your leverage taken away from you and you don't end up achieving the ultimate objectives that you set up front. So overall, I would say setting the expectations up front on a realistic, efficient, yet not rushed timeline at the start of a process is critically important, and it ultimately ends up helping to avoid unrealistic time pressures being imposed later in the process.
And Joe, I would say that the final key ingredient that comes out of the sourcing strategy and that provides a successful RFP process is the team that's going to work on the RFP itself. And to be successful, for the RFP to be successful, that team really needs to be a partnership between IT and procurement. So the whole point really of the sourcing strategy is to provide that platform, that motivation to embrace change, which is what drives a really competitive procurement process. That motivation for change really needs to come from the IT and the network team more so than procurement, since it's the IT team ultimately that will have to implement any change of supplier and any change of technology. And I think, you know, I think we all sort of acknowledge this, that sometimes IT, you know, they look upon an RFP process as at best a necessary evil and at worst something they really don't want to support. But I think if the sourcing strategy is well run and is successful, and it's determined and developed the IT and network teams, so develop their objectives to improve the services that they're responsible for. And if everyone understands and is bought into how the strategy will use the RFP to deliver those objectives and to drive real improvements that network and IT can live off, then I think that's how you successfully created a platform and buy-in for change. That's how you've created that support and that enthusiasm for the RFP process to drive that change. And I think that if you're successful in that, you'll have your stakeholders, they actually want to be on the RFP team. Everybody wants to be on the RFP team, sees it incredibly positively. And that's what helps to drive a really successful process and a really successful outcome.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Larry. I really think this has been a very insightful discussion. And if you, the listening audience, would like to learn more about best practices for ICT procurements, or if you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with Larry, Ben, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or shoot us an email. And you can always stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.